seated. I dismiss the children to their classes. And as they go, Lord Jesus, I pray that you will grow these children in their faith and challenge Prudence in her faith as she leads them for the glory of your name. Amen. Now I invite you to pray with me and for me. Lord God, take my words this morning and speak through them. Take our hearts this morning and speak to them. Holy Spirit, bring conviction to our hearts through your living word and initiate healing and transformation in our lives, all for the glory of your great name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, today begins our 7-week study on the Holy Spirit. We will not be following the Anglican lectionary in our scripture readings during these 7 weeks. Instead, we're going to be following readings that connect with our study and with the topics for each of the 7 weeks. The study was written in 2007 by Neil and by Jean during a very challenging season for Church of the Redeemer. And it was entitled, Running on Empty with a Question Mark. It begs the question, are you empty? Are you worn out? Are you tired? Are you empty because you're relying on other things for strength and encouragement? Or are you relying on God's gift, on the Helper, His Holy Spirit? This study is perfect for this coronavirus season. It's perfect for this political season. It's perfect for this season of discord and anxiety and emotional exhaustion and uncertainty. And truth be told, this study is good for any season, but especially for this kind of season. In our gospel reading from John 16, we heard Jesus' promise to send, using the Greek word, the paraclete, meaning the helper and the counselor. Jesus would send the helper to be with them. And this was the fourth mention by Jesus of the Holy Spirit as helper between John 14 and John 16. The helper who would be sent to be with Jesus' followers. Now, I don't know about you, but in the midst of this season especially, I want that helper. I want a counselor. I want that same Spirit of God that the Old Testament records was poured into God's leaders, who filled God's prophets and spoke through them. I want him to be with me. And at the same time, I'm a little afraid of asking for that because I'm not sure what I'm asking for and what I might get. After all, this is the Holy Spirit. Growing up, I associated the Holy Spirit personally with peace and comfort, and in my experience of the Holy Spirit with some crazy stuff that happened through crazy people. That's how I would have said it. In our reading from 1 Corinthians, we heard Paul's instructions to the church about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And they weren't just instructions, it was correction. Well, I would say that that was well-founded correction because in my experience, the gifts were weird and they were uncomfortable for me. So fast forward to my early 20s, I'm invited to a men's retreat at a local Episcopal church. My dad attended this little church in Ambridge, Pennsylvania. My dad and mom had joined it. And I wasn't sure about what he was describing, a church where the Holy Spirit was active, where people were slain in the Spirit and sometimes fell down, where people spoke in other languages, in tongues, and there were interpretations, where other things that I would describe as weird happened. Now, these were being described to me by my dad, who, as a younger person, I would sit beside him in church, and when we would sing the doxology, he would elbow me, and he'd say, look, John Sad's going up for the rebound, as he'd raise his hands and sing, praise God from whom all... That was to be funny. He's going up for the rebound. My dad had become weird. My dad was a little crazy, perhaps. Well, on the retreat, I met 30 men that were surprisingly just like me. They weren't weird. They were open. They shared their struggles with one another as we walked through the weekend. I liked them because they asked about me and they prayed for me. On the final night, we were to have a service of healing prayer, and I began to get anxious and worried because I figured this was now going to get weird. And my expectations came true after some worship where we asked the Holy Spirit to be present with us, bringing healing. Many men had their eyes closed with their hands in the air, some praying with strange sounds that I didn't recognize. And okay, it's getting weird. Then we were invited to come forward for healing prayer. The rector of the little church was on one side, and the guest speaker, his name was Greg Brewer. You may know that name because he's now the bishop in the Episcopal Diocese of Central Florida down in Orlando. He was the guest speaker. So they were on either side, two lines, and we were invited to come forward. Now, I didn't know either of these two men well. So I held back and I watched as men went up and they were prayed for. And many either collapsed to the ground or fell down. Some just went down with very loud booms because some of these were very large men. It was chaos. I remember there were bodies everywhere. And yet, I felt God's presence in that gathering like I hadn't ever felt before. I wanted a piece of this weirdness, and I wasn't sure what to do. So I wanted to go up towards the rector, but he had a long line of people. The guest speaker had nobody in front of him. So I walked up, and as I walked up, I had just barely met him over the course of the weekend, but he looked into my eyes, and he said, "I have a word of the Lord for you." And before I could object, he said, "Jesus wants you to know that he loves you. He loves you as you are. You need to stop seeking the approval of others. Stop trying to be good enough and receive his love." Well, I didn't know him, but I knew that the Holy Spirit gave him that message for me because it spoke exactly to where I was and where I was struggling. Now, I didn't fall down. I didn't pass out, but I had such incredible peace. That experience revealed to me that the Helper, the Holy Spirit, is a person, and he's alive and active, and that he speaks. It opened my eyes to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, not just weird stuff, but gifts given for the common good, for the good of the church. And that experience forever changed my relationship with the Holy Spirit. So I ask you the question, how do you view the Holy Spirit? Or put another way, who is the Holy Spirit to you? During my own journey of faith, I tended to treat the Holy Spirit not as a who, but as a what. I prayed to God to send something, send his Spirit, a what? I asked for the Spirit to be present. I wanted that presence to lead and to guide. I asked Jesus to bless me with a what? His Spirit. But I realized I never prayed to the Holy Spirit as a person. I prayed to the Father and to the Son, but I didn't pray to the Holy Spirit. I prayed about him or asked for him. Even after the retreat, I found myself defaulting to praying to the Father and the Son, but about the Spirit. Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit is not a what, but a who. In our reading from Genesis this morning, Genesis 1 verse 2 and then 28 and 29, it describes the Spirit of God present with the Father as a person. First hovering over the water during the creation narrative, and then let us create man in our image, present with God the Father. The Old Testament Hebrew scriptures are full of references to the Holy Spirit, anointing God's people, filling his leaders, empowering, even correcting those leaders and God's people. Jesus, in his four references to the Holy Spirit as Holy Spirit and Helper through John 14 through 16, he clearly refers to the Spirit as a person who would be sent, who in our reading from John chapter 16 would be sent to be with God's people, convicting them of sin, helping and counseling them. And then in verse 13, guiding them, declaring to them the things that are to come. Ultimately, what Jesus declared there was fulfilling God's word from centuries before through the prophet Joel. where Joel 2, verse 28, God says through the prophet, "In those days I will pour out my spirit upon all mankind, and they will dream dreams and see visions." This was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, when Jesus' promise was fulfilled. God, in God's word, the Spirit is a who, a gift from the Father, a gift to all those with faith in Jesus. Now, in the early church, the gifts of the Spirit were present and active, and they caused no shortage of healing, of ministry, but then of also problems and confusion. Even then, things got weird. That's my word. Paul wrote his letter to the church in first century Corinth, not to be instructive, but to be corrective, to bring correction to their worship, correction to their adherence to using the gifts of the Spirit. Problems that arose from misunderstanding and misuse of the Holy Spirit's gifts. And Paul was clear, the Spirit was a person. If you have your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, or if you're looking at the leaflet, in verse 11, Paul says, "Every spiritual gift is empowered by the one and the same Spirit who apportions to each individually as He wills." Paul referring to the Holy Spirit as a person. The Spirit is a person, in Paul's words, who has sovereignty and authority to distribute His gifts as He wills. Now, there's a lot more we could discuss from this passage. I want to focus in on verse 7, just that one verse. If you have your leaflet open, read with me verse 7. "To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." Now, what does the manifestation of the Spirit mean? Well, when you think about that, for something to be made manifest, it would be shown or revealed to be seen, embodied in visual or physical form. So the manifestation of the Spirit can be understood to be the revealing of the Spirit, the evidence of the Spirit's presence in those who follow Jesus. To each is given this evidence of the Spirit's presence, according to Paul. To each and every one, to all who confess that Jesus is Lord and who have eternal life in His name. And that means every one of you, if you have faith in Jesus Christ. If you follow Him, then you've received the Helper, who, according to Jesus in John 14, verse 17, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who dwells with you and is in you. So you, therefore, without exception, if you follow Jesus, you're given the manifestation of God the Holy Spirit. You're given evidence of the Spirit's presence within you. Now, before we move on, you have to answer the question, why? Why are you, as followers of Jesus, given this evidence, this manifestation of the Spirit within you? The end of the verse tells us, for the common good. You don't possess the Holy Spirit in you simply for your own benefit. It's not all about you, but for the benefit of the community around you, for the benefit of the church. You possess the Spirit for the good of your faith community, your church. I believe this truth speaks as one of the strongest biblical reasons we are to meet together as the body of Christ to worship. We all have gifts from the Holy Spirit that are to be used to bless others for the common good. God gives you gifts for the benefit of others whom God wants to bless. And I told you part of my story. God used what in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8, God used an utterance of wisdom and knowledge through Greg Brewer to bring conviction to me. to encourage me, to help me to see God the Spirit's presence and role in the church and in me, and to better understand and receive God's love for me. Love that in my own brokenness I was closed to. God used that gift through Greg to lead me to pray to the Lord differently, to pray to the Holy Spirit as a person, just as I prayed to the Father and to the Son. As God's gift was evident in Greg, and it blessed me and others in that faith community, God's given you gifts. So I want to conclude with a few questions. I ask you today, what's your understanding of the Holy Spirit? Is it like mine was, strange and weird? Is it something to be feared or controlled? The second question, do you see evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life? Do you see the manifestation of God's Spirit in you? And if so, I encourage you to reflect. What are the gifts that God has given you? Final question. Is the manifestation of the Spirit, evidence of the Spirit in you being used by God for the common good in your worship community, in your church? We're on a journey together for the next 7 weeks. And I pray you will dig in with me and take time to marinate in the scriptures that we'll be looking at. Take your service leaflet home if you have it, or mark these scriptures in your Bible if you're at home. Read them, reflect on them. Reflect on the study's questions each week. Set time aside, don't just rush through them. Be open and honest with your small group community or with other Redeemer members as you have questions. I pray the study will lead you to new understanding, to conviction, and to growth. For the glory of God, the Holy Spirit, and God the Son, and God the Father, and for their kingdom work in us and through us as the world sees the Holy Spirit in us and His activity through our lives. May that be so in Church of the Redeemer. Amen.